Welcome to the Follow Leader Sports Podcast. This episode is another Villanova Radio episode. I've already like really went toward thinking about doing more Villanova Radio. So I definitely will. And this topics we're going to have here, we're going to talk about Villanova versus Penn, which was a classic. Classics are not really hard to come by. Not all of them will make the most memorable classics, but games like that, Big Five classic, just a good one. I'm going to tell you why. We'll talk about Villanova and St. Joe's. And, because we're going to have two segments, it's just only right. The Villanova football as a whole has really gained the respect and fan base. I have to start splitting things up. All right, and then I have to start with one here. So this is the first segment, basketball. We will also just talk about all around. I really want to talk about on the football, the headline of that will be the secondary in the 2020 class. We'll talk about the next segment. But this segment, we're going to talk about Villanova and just the direction. I'm going to listen, let's just start first. I'm going to start first with some recruiting news. I don't really start too hard with recruiting. But Nana Njoku and Elijah Hutchins-Everett, who reclassified 2021 and had a 2020 Villanova offer. Just keep an eye on it. Because I used to keep in contact with him. And he was always like they was hot on his trail. And then, you know, Villanova just, after the Jaden Springer didn't happen, I don't think Villanova was really into anything. I mean, Jaden Springer not committing. They went for one more with Jaden Springer. You know, they went hard for that, and when that didn't happen, everything just shut down because you heard Lynn Greer talks and all that. And you know, he's in another groove. He's another guy that, you know, you think about that Villanova could actually, you know, get on. But in this right now, it seems like they're just not going to do it. I mean, I talk with, you know, coaches, and you know, I talk with people, you know, concerning the direction of Nova, where they go and recruiting, and 2021 is it. And if you look at it, it's more space, more players can go, and people will commit. Let's think about one guy who they've been recruiting for the past couple of years. I mean, Trey Patterson. Trey Patterson was one of the youngest guys, period, a couple of years ago. He was the youngest player there in the Hoos Mania, and he came again. They have been steady on him. I felt that thinking about just how good the recruiting is going. Let me tell you about 2021 class. That's the first thing. It's a pretty good class. And I really think in the top 50, and it's some other, you just gotta let it flow for a minute. Top 50 looks real good. I think that's where it's, you know, that's where it's at, especially the top 20. So, when we come and we talk about this class and who else could go, who else could commit, it's GARU. And in this class, they got Kalib Daniels. I mean, I just think they really feed off the engine of getting guards. Kalib Daniels, I mean, I'm excited about him. Like, I didn't really know what to say. I remember seeing him play. Not like that much, a couple of times. I mean, when you see teams play, you see guys shine. He was shining. He shined with them. But, man, see him playing with Nova. And this offense really fits him. He's a slasher. He's like a more quicker Phil Booth, you know? He almost looks like a more athletic Phil Booth. Like, seriously, man. He's going to be, to see him and Gillespie, I think next year, him and Gillespie make that, you're talking about this pause right here in this backcourt situation. We can do a pause real quick. And I'm saying Antoine's out of here. I'm sorry. Like, these two freshmen are super freshmen that Robinson Earl's gotten into the lottery. He's a top 10 pick. It's just what it is. You're not going to get, when he plays his natural position at the four, he's going to be even more tough and hard to stop. I think he's going to be an NBA All-Star. I think he's going to be an absolute NBA All-Star. He's just really a very, very polished IQ guy. Antoine is ready. Anybody see him get in games? It's like the leash is on him, and he's just running around like, you know, he wants to be involved, but, you know, they're not giving him that time, you know. But I think what Wright also is doing, which is good, is letting him get run. Letting him flow with the team. Get his breath in. Let him see everybody play. Run around. Because, which is a key that you know he's going to eventually cut him loose, is he's letting him run. He's letting him run up and down the floor. He's been energetic. He's getting them involved. He's putting them in and out of the game. It's like he giving him more time than Quinley had last year. Coming back, he's really getting him involved, at least to be around the team. Pass to everybody. Get cool. Soon, that is going to be the X factor of this. If they don't get no production out of him, there's no championship. They're not going to win the championship. That's just what I'm saying. I'm saying it right now. If they don't get production out of Antoine, there's no championship. I don't care how it looks for them to have seven people right now or eight people. They need, listen, Antoine is a key factor to that because of the fact of his impact and what he can do with what I judge that championship on. And then you get Antoine and Earl, and it's just like, whoa. And then look at what Gillespie's doing in Bay. You got four guys on this team. Listen, and right now, let's not talk. Justin Moore's averaging 12 points a game. Shooting over 40% from the three. Shooting 40% from 45% from the field. Like, he is nobody. That's two guys. Another guy. Remember, I said it about Cole Swatter. I said it about Cole. I said that about Cole, who's averaging double figures. You know, he's had a couple of games where he ain't hit the. But I said it about Cole. It's two guys I'm not talking about. When Cole was time, you see the shots that Cole hit? He got 7 points, 7 and 7. Let's not throw that under the bus. Let's not throw that under the bus. Cole Swatter and Justin Moore. I mean, two of the most underrated. As good as this guy has been, it's not no accident he's been on Team USA team winning gold medals. You know, he might not get as much time as everybody else, but he was picked for a reason. This guy is good, good. And he's going to be an NBA player. He's going to be a first-round draft. Listen, look how he's playing now. It's only a matter of time for Justin Moore becomes the starter. And then if you look at it, I said Caleb Daniels and Gillespie, but Moore might take it when Antoine leaves. Moore is looking good, good. Like, he's getting 25 and 17 off the bench. When they won in 2018, we didn't see Dante. We didn't see a second. I mean, Booth was in and out hurt, but he was there. It was a good team. It was Booth. It was Brunson. It was DeVincenzo with Gillespie. And we had it was a good 2017 freshman class that anytime they was, you know, singles got hurt. But he had 10 points in the game that he got hurt. You know, he was just starting to rev up. So it was just a lot of real good play going on there. But that was a three-guard rotation. This rotation generally has Antoine, Gillespie, Moore. But Moore scoring 25-17. Same thing DiVincenzo can do, right? But the only difference in this bench is that you got Slater and Swatter on your bench. In 2018, there was no. What Slater is doing, Samuels is not playing like that. Slater, and he's a sophomore, that 1 year always helps. He is active defensively. He is one of the, you look at Samuels and Slater, to me, are the, when I'm looking at them defensively, because Gillespie is good too, and of course, Roundtree's the next guy. But Slater and Samuels are the best defensive players on that team. They are dogs on defense. They are looking to get you, you know. Gillespie's has become a dog this year. Roundtree's a third guy. Like, he's always playing great defense coming in. You don't want any physical. He knows how to play defense. That's Roundtree's MO. He knows how to play defense, all right? And Slater and Swatter, like I said, off the bench. And then you got Roundtree. Roundtree, what, forgetting? Like, Roundtree can play. It's just that with Robinson Earl, he's going to get those type of minutes because Robinson Earl can do more. You know, he can do more. He's a better rebounder. He's a better scorer. He's a better everything than Roundtree. So they're going to give Roundtree run. You know, you want to sit Earl, let him sit and chill for a minute. Sometimes you can put lineups with a Roundtree and Earl in there with Bay. I mean, it's not bad at all. You get a guy that can play D, and then you give Robinson Earl to get somebody a mismatch. He has too many, you know. And then now with a lineup, when they do Samuels at the guard position with Gillespie, that's only saying Antoine and Moore, and that's giving them a four-guard rotation. And then you got Slater. You know, Slater's getting time at a lot of time now. You know, it's how they're doing things. It's like Slater gets time at the three. He gets time at the two. I mean, they're just rotating. I mean, he has a team that's good, and he knows it. You know, when you look at your recruit, and you're just like, oh, man, that was just a good job getting Slater. That boy, you can just put him in there. He's running all around the court, guarding everybody. And in that pin game, we go to the pin game. You know, the pin game was a classic. Brodeur versus Bay. That was like Allen Iverson versus Vince Carter in 2001. They was going back and forth. And then Dingo and Moore started to get at it. Jordan Dingo and Justin Moore started to get at each other. And, you know, then Robinson Earl held his own. And then, you know, sometimes you saw Cole Swider drive in, post you up, score himself, not waiting for the ball. You saw Slater going for the ball. Like, these guys, they don't have to wait for anybody. Last year's team was totally different from this year's team. Everybody is willing to go in there and get it. And Robinson, and then Cosby Roundtree can just be himself. Oh, yeah, you notice we got two centers with two names, Robinson Earl, Cosby Roundtree. You had to point it out. But Cosby Roundtree can just do what he do, man. I think don't look for him to do. It's just too many other guys you can focus on now. Don't look at what Cosby Roundtree can do, because he's not going to make them win or lose this championship. I put it like this. I said this before the beginning of the season. Cosby Roundtree is the key, because he's a focal leader. You need somebody in there that can play big defense and not be a scorer and can take some fouls and keep some energy going. Because anytime he comes in there, he's always making an impact. He's always making his usage right. He's Cosby Roundtree plays good basketball, and everybody else is so good when you got Moore and you got Robinson Earl and you got Sadiq Bey. I mean, look, Jermaine Samuels don't even get to get. It's just other guys that need the ball. Slater's another one. I mean, them guys are good. They're leaders. So that's a whole different type of team. Now, back to recruiting. I want to talk more about Keels. And Trevor Keels and Langston Love. You got Rasul Diggins, guys like Jordan Longino, who Penn State basketball has offers with. But they're guys that Villanova's looked at, and we'll see how that goes. Two Philadelphia guards. And we'll see how that goes. Now, Keels is a point guard from Paul the Fourth. So, you know, that's where Slater came from. There's recruiting Roach, who went to Duke. That's where he came from. And, you know, at one time they was looking at Anthony Harris. You know, so they like Paul the Fourth. And Keels is a guy that, you know, I think that's a guy that's their third commit I can see really happening. If Langston Love goes to somebody else. But I think more than anything, will they get four people? Because they didn't get nobody in there. Will they get Langston Love? That is a very good question. Or will they just get three? Will they get four, three or four? But if they had to pick, I think it would be Langston Love. I don't think they would worry about point guard status, knowing they got Caleb Daniel for 2 years, knowing they got Gillespie. Gillespie would be a senior. So if they do get a point guard, well, who will be the next guy? I think that's why Keels is so important, because by them not getting a point guard and just getting Caleb Daniels, who Caleb Daniels can play the point guard? And they got Chris Archidiakono. Okay, that's two guys who can play the point guard position. You know, so are those two guys the future, or is Villanova going to get a point guard? It's just a very good question. But with the Sky Clark interest in 2022, that tells you something. He's also their type of point guard, and he's really having a big-time season. Like, if Villanova gives him, and I feel like it's going to happen, Sky Clark of 2022, he's one of the top, and he's probably going to end up being a top 10. I mean, he's something different. Second best player out of California next to Dior Johnson. Crazy right now. Crazy. So, if they get Sky Clark and get him on the radar, and he's told me, it was an interview with VU Sports that we have 247. And he said that, man, he loves them. They're a guard school. He would love to, you know, go to Villanova. It was just crazy. He hit me in my inbox and told me. So I was like, all right, let's do this interview to me, you know. And so we did the interview, and, you know, I turned it into VU Sports, and, you know, that's big when the kid comes and say, Villanova is recruiting me, you know. They come to me, like, because they know I do a lot of work for them, so they're excited, you know. So, Sky Clark, like I've always said, Villanova could have got Jalen Green. Villanova could have got Jalen Green. The parents wanted to go to Pennsylvania. They wanted to get out of out of California. The wife does. His mom wants to get out of California. That's what stepfather Marcus Green told me. Now, with that being said, what's the next move? The next move would definitely be for you to go visit this guy and then it's time to get him. But, I don't know. Looking at guys that big time and seeing how he got, I think Jay Wright tries to stay away from it because, you know, it's really, like, it's hard to really get, you know, those type of, he don't want to spend all their time just talking to the guy that's like a star. And next thing you know, it's other guys you're missing out on. You got to understand how Jay Wright do things. He knows, like, he really, if he's really going to take a super chance on you, I mean, he been recruiting you for a long time, or, you know, or if he must really like you, because that's a strain. Jalen Green's recruitment, because he's a star, is something he don't think he want to, you know, tag with. You know, he don't want to go at it with the Dukes and Kentuckys and Memphis and, you know, guys like that for Jalen Green. And then I think even that they knew that the interest was there, I think, you know, you're looking at like being too late. Because they even tried to go after Johnny Juzang. They tried to go, but he reclassified. So with him reclassifying, it took him out. But Johnny Juzang would have been in Villanova if it was 2020. Johnny Juzang would have been in Villanova because Johnny Juzang would have had a chance to start. He knew it. They made the visit, but he reclassified 2019. He wouldn't have been no Kentucky. If it was 2020, Johnny Juzang would have been in Villanova. Talked to Maxie, we was talking about, you know what I mean? It was always, you know, what's going on with Kentucky, Nova, a lot of guys, USC, everybody recruiting Johnny Juzang, you know, Compton Magic, well, I think one of the best shooters, but that was it. That was definitely that. So, Kills is a very, very interesting prospect to look at. Max Christie, of course they want him. They want Max Christie because they want Max Christie to replace Brian Antoine. But at the same time, Max Christie would have to understand it's not like you're going to, you know, because Justin Moore is good. So you go to Duke knowing that everybody leaving, you know, you're going to be starting. And then they're going to put you right on draft board notice. This is what it is with Duke, Kentucky. Soon as you're there, you're on draft board. I watch. It's not like that with Villanova. Depends on what type of prospect you are. They wait to see a Villanova player getting good. And they say, put him on the radar. Soon as 11, 12 points come up. He's a freshman. Guarantee you they're looking at Justin Moore for future drafts right now. They thinking 2022 draft, you know, for Justin Moore. That's what I'm thinking. You know, Cole Swider next year, 2021 would be perfect for him. You see him play that year, and then he's gonna start next year at power forward. It's not even a. It'll be Samuels and Swider. And then who else at center? People have to realize that Cole Swider is next in line to start. And then you're looking at the next shooting guard, why wouldn't it be Justin Moore? So, you really, I'm looking now, you're looking at Moore and Gillespie and Samuels and Swatter and Roundtree next year. I don't know if you're going to put just Dixon. Dixon's not going to get the same because Robinson Earl was a, you know it, drafts are looking at him. And then you look at, is he playing good enough to be a starter no matter who looking at him? Yes. So he was put in there. You know, I thought it was Cosby Roundtree, but when you look at how his stock was going up in NBA draft stocks, like people are looking at Antoine regardless of whatever's going on. They know the type of talent he got. He's just lower in boards now. He's lower. But soon people are just waiting for some type of, that 9-point game had people salivating like, oh, yeah, we knew that Antoine was, you know what I mean? Soon as he does a play, they know soon as he plays, it's going to be something different. All right, so next year, I'm just thinking like that. There's no freshman anyway coming in, whether it's Patterson, Njoku, or Keels, that's going to start right away. Now, the next team is different, and that's why 2021 is so important. Important, you know. So you got Daniels and Dixon coming next year. That's it. Like, it's not going to be that deep yet. You still got Archie Diacono. I see him getting, because he's just perfect. People sleeping on that guy. They're sleeping on him. They're sleeping on Chris. They are sleeping on Chris. Like, soon, next year, it's going to be a total different guard rotation. Jay Gillespie, Arthur Diacono, Justin Moore, and Caleb Daniels. That's four guards. Then next year, you still got Slater. Swatter can start. Slater's backing up. Eric Dixon. Cosby Roundtree. Like, that's, it's nobody else. That's the team next year. So you're going to see a lot of rotation of Eric Dixon in there with Roundtree, and I think that's going to happen. And you're going to, with the starters going to be Swatter, and it's going to be a lot of a different. And I think it's still a good team. I think people don't know about Eric Dixon, man. It's going to be a real surprising team next year. And Jermaine Samuels is really going to be the key. I just think Bay is gone. I just think Bay, Antoine, and Robinson Earl, until I see Fullermore, is out of here. They're gone. But Gillespie and Samuels run the team next year. And then you got other guys like, it's going to be time for Slater to play now. Now it's time to see what Slater's about, what Swatter's about. It's time to see what Archie Diacono is about. It's going to be time to see what these guys was about. And then in 2021, because Gillespie will be gone. Because Samuels will be gone. Because Roundtree will be gone. Now it's going to be something different. Because them boys are going to be seniors. And the 2021 class going to come in. It's going to be Trey Patterson, Nana Njoku, Trevor Keels. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be real interesting. And if Moore could actually be a senior. We're talking about junior, but what could happen? Could he be a senior? Like, he definitely, it's not like saying, but I say by junior, he's going to definitely be on just a lot of radars. After his sophomore year, he'll be second round pick. I think he'll be, after his sophomore year, he'll be, you know, during his sophomore year, he's going to enter second round pick conversation. By his junior year, he'll be looked at. And if he starts doing good in his junior year, he'll be looked good as a first-round pick. All right, let's talk about Villanova and Penn. I just feel like Penn has a good team. And I just knew, I'm glad we got that test. They play the right way. Two very good, Steve Donahue, great coach. Can really coach basketball, Jay Wright. Two chess players. I love the game. They had two go-to guys, A.J. Broder and Sadiq Bey. Jordan Dingle lights it up. Ryan Bentley. Devon Goodman. I mean, that's a good team. Lucas Monroe, former teammate of Eric Dixon, Villanova player Eric Dixon at Abington, man. I mean, they always recruiting good. And they got Jelani Williams, who's a different type of athlete Penn ain't seen. Different type of energy. He has Russell Westbrook energy. He reminds me of a baby Russell Westbrook. You know, he really has the energy. He's explosive. So when he comes back and hopefully, you know, he's really got injured on their leg. Let's just see what happens. But he's another different type of monster. So this game really evolved into, I think, you know, games, like even when they lost to Ohio State and Baylor, it's teaching these guys, because they don't never look, they're not hitting their shots, or they let Baylor get back into it, because they had Baylor beat, you know. The only game was convincingly was Ohio State, you know. They just wasn't hitting their shots. They got a lot to do on defense. They got to get better on defense and offense. It's just a young team. And then, you know, like guys like Jermaine Samuels, they can play. They can come in there and they can make things happen. It's like Jermaine Samuels is letting Sadiq Bey do his thing. He don't even care. He's just trying to play basketball, play good defense. If he's not involved on offense, he's going to make sure he's involved on defense. That's a perfect starting five guy to have. And all in all, you look at what Jermaine Samuels brings to the shooting guard position, because they're putting Cole Swider in there now at the small forward position, or they can put him at the power forward with Sadiq Bey at small forward, because that's what you do. And that's just how it's going now. Because Cole can play the four. Both of them can play the four. You can put Sadiq at the three now. And you put Jeremiah Robinson, Earl, everybody can shoot three-pointers. With Gillespie just having a room full of weapons, just lock and load. And then he can eat up on you because he's on another level this year. Like, it's a good game. Gillespie reminds me more of Mark Price, you know, a more physical Mark Price. I just see that all in Gillespie. I just see him as Mark Price. He really reminds me of Mark Price, like. The way this guy plays is he has all-star potential in it, because he's more physical than Archie Diakono. So he can get his shot even more inside, outside, drive. I mean, this is how he's in that zone now. So once Villanova, you know, that teaching kicks in and that confidence kicks in, that Villanova confidence, these players become different players. Robinson Earl's going to learn to be an even better player, which is scary as the season goes on, learning from Villanova. Same way that Amari Spellman did. They learn how to work. They learn how to. And Amari Spellman got with Golden State, and I think it was only a matter of time. You know, I think he just didn't want to be down there in the G League. You know, he's like, yo, come on, let me come up and get some time. But now the Warriors, especially, it's good to see this, is giving them that, you know, that time. And I think he's going to be a real good player with the Warriors. Looking more at the St. Joe game, just to come back here. I mean, it's only going to be Ryan Daly is the most impressive guy there. He's averaging around 28 and 4 assists. I mean, he's a pretty good. He's 6'5". I mean, no matter who he goes against, he's not going to be able to go against Bay or Swider's gonna eat him. I mean, he's a good player, man. But this team is a little bit, you know. And then, like, one player is not gonna. They got a. And I don't mean to, you know, but they're really not playing. They're terrible this year. They're terrible. They are. St. Joe's is terrible. It's Lorenzo Edwards, Cameron Brown. They got a freshman backcourt with Ramir Moore and Cameron Brown. You got Ryan Daly. You got Anthony Longpre, who's a center. And Lorenzo Edwards. Miles Douglas coming off the bench. Dennis Ashley. But these guys are just not. And this is the wrong team, because Villanova's out for blood. They lost to two good teams. They didn't like their losses. Like, they don't like. Villanova don't like losses, man. So. I mean, I think that Kansas is in for a spanking. I'm not going to say spanking, because that's disrespectful. They are a good team. Let me stop. A little exaggerating. But I just think they're not going to be able to handle Villanova. I look at who they got, from Dotson to Akbe to Udoka to, you know what I mean? Like, these guys aren't ready for Villanova. Not too many teams are ready for Villanova. All they have to do is get going, get their identity of, you know, it's usually like who's going to take it and who's going to do this. Now, it's like you start seeing flashes of guys knowing who to give it to, who don't care who to give it to, you know. And then with Justin Moore doing so good, It's only a matter of time before it's Antoine Moore off the bench with Swider off the bench and Slater off the bench and Cosby Roundtree. It's only a matter of time. That's the bench. Moore and Swider can score. So no matter who you put on the starting lineup, Wright's starting to see the identity. Samuels is very passive. He takes it when he has to, but he sees his other guys, Bay and Robinson, Earl, and, you know, Moore. He wants to, I think this, I'm always saying which game, but these last two Big Five games have been competitive between LaSalle, going against LaSalle, and going against Penn. This right here, I see a Antoine, you know, I think he can, I think what should happen, what I like to see happen, is Jay Wright say, listen, Jay Wright got to be like, listen, I'm going to put him in. This is the best game to start. You know, we've been trying to start you in slow. It's time to put you in. When Antoine started coming in the game, because Slater's passive and Samuels are passive. And, you know, Swider ain't really messed up. He know he getting his time. But Antoine, man, when Antoine starts scoring along with Moore, when they start involving both of them in the game, because that's three guards. They don't have four. They need their third guard. They have the time to put Antoine in. They just need to go ahead and put Swider back on the bench. And you know what I mean? They have the minutes to let Antoine get what he can get. They haven't involved him enough in the offense. It's going down, though. I mean, just look what's going down. Every time, listen, for a guy that just came back from a shoulder injury that's going in slow, this is the perfect way to do it. Let him be involved in the traffic. Let's see how physical he gets. Let's see how that shoulder feel. And that's what he's doing. Wright is a genius. He's a genius. And so St. Joe will be the one. They're going to roll over St. Joe. All right? And the Delaware game, it's a Delaware game they go against. Delaware is undefeated. Look, they 9-0. And we'll see. Villanova will take them out too. And then it's Kansas. You know, Kansas is it. Like, Kansas is a big test because we had Ohio State. We lost to Baylor, someone who's not better than Ohio State. So, Villanova still has some climbing to do. I think if we played them teams again, it would be a different game between both because Villanova's a different team, even after losing to Baylor. We could lose right now. We could lose to Delaware. For the simple fact, Villanova still isn't battle-tested yet now. By February, this team will be a totally different team. Where they will be at their record, they'll have a good record. They'll have a good record. Just like against Penn, even though they won against Penn, it was times they were letting them come back. Villanova's not going to be that easy to beat by any team. I don't care who playing them. But as soon as this team really gets right, it's going to be real. I mean, we're talking about some blowouts, some 10-digit wins at least, you know. The only teams I'm scared of to play. Duke is a good team. They're real good. If it ain't Villanova, it's Duke. I think that's it. That's it. Duke, Villanova. I mean, Kentucky just doesn't look impressive. I mean, this is out of all the five stars you can have, they probably got the most how can I go? Do I want to say weakest? All those guys are good players. I mean, Keon Brooks, I know that, you know, Johnny Juzang, but this is just not a team that can carry the mistakes that Calipari makes on the coaching end, because it has to be coaching mistakes because these are five stars. You don't have one. You have a lot. You have guys on the bench who are five stars. Like, there's no way that you should be. You know, I just don't, the production of the team, period. You know, Higgins is a talented player. Nick Richards, talented player. People been getting hurt, but they still have Keon Brooks and Khalil Whitney and Tyrese Maxey and Emmanuel Quigley and Ashton Higgins. And I mean, what is the weight? Johnny Juzang, EJ Montgomery. I mean, you still got these guys that are five stars, and nobody's, this is just not, so we're coming to next year, and you're talking about that team, and it's like, well, this team can do it, because guys like Boston and Clark are going to make shots. They're going to, you know, and then you got Askew coming in. I mean, this is basically telling Ashton Hagen, hey, Quigley, y'all better go. Get off my team. Quigley, unless you want to be the backup point guard. I mean, when they get guys, Kentucky basically kicking guys off the team unless you want to ride the bench. Because there's promises made. You know, there are promises made. And but it's a couple of guys like Lance Ware, they're not going to warrant time. You're just not going to take it. And Cameron Fletcher's not going to just take time. He's going to have to earn it. You know, there's some guys on there. So it's going to be some Johnny Juzang, Keon Brooks. With the front court in Kentucky, it's a little different. But anyway, I don't want to. I just get to talking basketball. Excuse me, Nova. Excuse me. But, yeah, Villanova's going to be a pretty good team. It's going to be a lot going on. What to watch for is we're waiting for Antoine. We know it's going to happen because Jay Wright wants it to happen. It's going to be time to put him implement him into the team. I think this is a slow enough game to where it's not as competitive where you can put Antoine in there and let him play. You can just sit more. You can just sit him. Like, you can let him play, let Antoine play more games than more minutes than Moore for a couple of games. Nobody is warranted to have minutes. They're all going to get minutes. And I think it's games you can sit people because they got so many players. You know, they got so many guys that can come in and play. And, you know, it's just going to be fun to watch this team. And Duke is one, Arizona and Louisville. I've said it countless times. That's my four teams that can go in the Final Four is Duke, Louisville, Arizona, and Villanova. And I was trying to really implement that last year. Memphis could be. Memphis if Wiseman comes back, something's going to be different with that team. But I don't see the dog in that team as much as I would Arizona with Nico Mannion. And they already came in with a great recruiting class. But you got Nico Mannion and Josh Green on this team with another, you know, good recruiting class, deep people on this recruiting class. Some good players on this recruiting class. So, and then they already had good players that was already here. So, that's a team. In Louisville, the same thing happened. They got a big-time recruiting class, already had good players there. Same thing happened to Villanova, and Duke just had a real good recruiting class. You know, they just had that type of class. You know, so this is going to be a fun year. It's going to be some good basketball playing. And I'm out of here, man. I wanted to next segment, go to part two. I'm about to get right into the football, man. Out of here. Nova Nation. What's going on, y'all? I'm back. Segment two, Villanova football. I mean, it's exciting right now. The new era is big, promising. It's going to be a lot. I think it's going to be a ton. Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be more than usual, double the time more usual than Villanova players is getting looks and getting on practice squads and really playing. Like, look how it's doing now, and I think it's going to be more that's going to be on NFL teams like Austin Calistro. This is a good time right now. Villanova's putting out some good talent, and it's good to look at this talent because it's a lot of good talent coming. Now, I told you about the top three targets. Well, two of them have committed. Keyshawn Shelters, Tyrell Mims. Officially, this defensive back class is nasty. Let's talk. Guy number one. Guy number one I want to talk about. Ethan Potter, man. Ethan Potter rushed for like around 1,600 yards as a running back. A monster. And then he had over 100 tackles as a defensive back. I mean, and he can be a cornerback. This guy, this is good tweet. We don't know where he's going to put him at, but he can be a cornerback or he can be a safety. Either way, he's going to make plays. He's just a hard-nosed, big-time player, and it's like getting Jaren Hayek all over. I think he impacts immediately as soon as he's on the field. That's it. when we looking at the next guy who's my favorite, and that's John Roden. 6 interceptions this past year. I mean, John Roden, the same thing I said about Jaquan Amos, and the same thing I said about Christian Benford. This is that type of guy, game changer. He can get in the game and he can just shut it down. And I think he starts getting time immediately. I think he one of those guys. Ty Trinity, when they first got him, I remember, you know, seeing his tape, pretty good player. You know, just a solid cornerback that can play a physical guy. But he really showed out this year. He turned heads, man. I mean, he's the type of guy that could play safety or corner. He could play anywhere in the field, outside corner, inside. He is the type of guy that can beat you downfield and go get the ball from you. I mean, I think he's a shutdown corner now. I mean, he really showed that, listen, I'm the wrong guy to throw to. Tyrell Mims is he's just a dog. He's a regular, like, you can't look at his tape and he's going to stuff you. He can sack you. He can play safety. He can play nickel. He's that type of guy. You know, these guys, they always get versatile guys. You can see him doing those type of, I think, better in the inside as a nickel corner. Or safety. I just think he's that type of guy. I think he'd be more dangerous in there. But he was a very good, like, acquisition. Like, this guy. But he can play outside. Like, Mims can play outside. He's a physical corner. But he would be even more deadly inside. He's stopping tight ends. You know, they could have definitely, like, these type of corners, I know, will impact right away. And these are the type of corners they needed right now last year. They needed these type of guys. Keyshawn Schultz, will he play safety or will he play corner? That's another thing. Right now, they got him as a cornerback. That size, it's more size. You got him over there with Elijah Trent. So you got Roden. I feel it could be the only guy that could play safety could be Potter. Because if you look at the safety position with Villanova, it's Elijah Glover, who I think ends up starting next year. Or it could be, Benford could play safety. There's still guys that could switch to safety. Benford could play safety. No question. Amos could play safety. So it's not like they can't move. Because one reason why I'm saying it, because you got Elijah Trent playing so good, you can't take him out the start lineup. He's probably the best NFL prospect in the secondary simply because of his size. You know, Amos, if you look at how he plays, no question. I'm talking about, you know, the first thing guys would try to go for that they will really, you know, drool over is size. And he got cover skills. He's an athlete. So watch out for Elijah Trent if he continues to do what he does. And then Amos, and then Benford really didn't, you know, he had injuries. This is another elite guy that if you want a secondary that's shut down city, you want Benford, Amos, and Trent on the field. You want them on the field. And then whoever you put next, and really, you just got to see who wins that. Daryl McDaniel's been the solid cornerback, another guy that contributes to that elite secondary. All them guys, they get after it. But Elijah Glover might be the man next to Benford. If you want to really, it should be Benford, Glover, and then Darius Prickett. Listen, watch out for him. I mean, it could easily turn into, I think if it's not going to be Benford, which I don't see why not, but then again, Benford could get time at the nickel, but I don't know. He's just too much of a stud not to have him on the field. Amos might play safety next to Pickett, because Pickett doing his thing. Pickett has been having a real good season, but Glover's also been showing it, so I see he'll get time. I think it's good to know at that safety position, you got 4 guys that could make it happen if you wanted to. So that's why I say that it could be Amos, Trent, and Benford with Isis Waxter. And then you still got Goodman about to get some time. I mean, it's going to be Pacific guys that it'll be time for them to really step up, and it's time for them to get you know, contribute. Now, it's going to be, I mean, this is the cornerbacks coming now. Wow. And who do I think will get that time? If you got Goodman and you got Wax to the cornerback, I think Roten is going to be that guy where you're going to be like, wow, it's another dude, another dog. And then Potter, you can easily put him right there at safety. I think with his athletic ability, you're going to want him to get some time. I think the guys that are going to fall back a little might be Mims and Trenny. As good as Trent, they're good. They can easily beat out one another. But that's what I'm looking at. Rodens is a whole other guy, and Potter. And then you can cut Schultz is another guy because of his size. That's three guys I think that could get on the field immediately, you know, and get some time in, you know. But they're still going to give Mims of them time because, of the, you know, you got the ability to redshirt. And some guys are going to redshirt because some guys are not going to get that time. They're not going to waste their scholarship because soon they'll have guys in there, you know, that can play. You know, they'll have those guys, this 2020 class. And they still got Pickett and Waxter and Glover to get in and Goodman. I mean, they still got good players that can come in. Let's see how Saragusa and Consumino do. You know, guys that were walk-ons. Consumano, those guys were Hunter Consumano and Anthony Saragusa. Two guys who, you know, look like they can add some depth. So this is a good haul they got. I mean, they got five dogs, and all those guys can start. You know, I think if you let they can all compete to start if you give them the opportunity. They can all compete for it and make it a competition. Them guys is good. So, and the two guys I've always like Schultz is like out of nowhere. They ended up giving that scholarship, and I thought, man, to get the guy that he can be just a straight, he'd take it right out the air from you. I mean, that was a good pickup. I mean, Roden was one guy, right? And you're thinking, okay, but then they get Schultz, and you're like, if they get this guy. And then Mims is a dog out there. Like, he's generally a guy. He's an athlete because he could play some receiver for him. So he can really get after you. He can really, and he's going to be a tough guy to mess with. Like, these guys can play, and I mean, this was just good. Now, Aiden Howard. You want to talk about something? Aiden Howard, he'll be visiting from December 13th to the 15th to Villanova, their top target. And I think we're going to see a commitment soon. We're going to see a commitment soon. I think it really, really puts, I ended up getting some, if you want to talk about the 2021 class, Jordan Lodato, I think is not going anywhere right now. I think it's one school just taking him away from Villanova. I think I think like Ortega, he'll be a Villanova Wildcat. I just think it's they're showing their love and Villanova the same thing to Ortega. And it's another guy, but he's not with the, he's with 2020 class, but that's another school they might go after. And you're looking at Langston Long, who has an offer in the 2021 class. That's another cornerback they could get who's a, remember, they was recruiting him. The reason why they went and got another guy is because, you know, Langston Long, Lex Long went to the 2021 class. So that gives Villanova two guys with offers that are major that they got. Those guys are good. Now, is this class better than the last class? No, I just don't think this 2020 class is better than the last class. But at the same time, I might have to think a little bit on that. Give me some thinking. They're really edge by edge, man. I mean, I think that last class had a haul of some good players. But we'll talk about that in a minute. But Will Silverman and D. Gordano out of, was it, East Bucks, the PA prospects, Will Silverman and Anthony. There's two guys just like Ortega and Brian. You can get those two guys. They came in for a visit. I'm really going to monitor those. Anthony D. Gordano and Will Silverman from East Bucks County High School. Also, I think it's Central East Bucks County. We'll get that right. But Will Silverman, 247, Max Preps, look those guys up. Good athletes. They always like quarterbacks with mobility. And the receivers really know how to run routes. I think we don't really give the credit because now what's going on, I think this year they really look so crisp. Nathan Pagan is not getting, and Chris Bowden are really made this team different. And you could see it in the offense because it was times the defense slipped up and the offense had to come back. You know, high scoring games, the Townsend game. Look at the James Madison game. I mean, it was, if the offense wasn't what the offense was this year, scoring points, this team wouldn't have got the 9 wins. Not at all. Look at the Southeast Louisiana game. We had to slug it out with them at the first. The defense has to be able to hold. It has to be some type of something has to be answered in the defense department. People got to get better. And I think if this team doesn't get better defensively next year, it has to be some answers. Like, see, they have the dogs now. Next year, you got guys like Elijah Solomon, Owen Thomas at linebacker, and Townsend who are coming. So this and Amon Black comes back next year. You still got Forrest Ryan. I mean, you got guys that can are still going to be able to play. And not only be able to, what I mean by that is they'll be impacting. This is a talented group. Then Josh Slay comes in next year. Like, what else do you want out this linebacking core? It's some animals coming. Solomon and Slay coming with Townsend developing. And Owen Thomas, I mean, that's a good little haul of guys that people are not talking about. And then next year, Timothy Ferguson comes in. It just makes this an even better linebacker, but they have to prove themselves. But, you know, looking at it, they got some savages on there. So, and then the defensive line has never been, I mean, the linebacking squad has, and the secondary has always kept some, you know, guys that can make plays. But, and the running backs, they've had guys, you know, and, but to be unbelievably on a whole nother, the offensive line, receivers, and defensive line have not looked like this. And since I've been, I mean, keeping up with, I mean, obviously because not that the NFL prospects that haven't went, I mean, I'm saying here, it's some NFL talent on this line. And it's not being, you know, it's a lot of talent on this line. And we'll talk about that, the underrated parts of Villanova. Which is the first one, defensive line. I mean, Michael Taylor, top recruit out there, out of his class. He's a dude that can play. Malik Fisher, he's a certified dog. I think next year he gets 10 sacks. He'll be even better. Jared Nelson, I think that's the defensive line. I think that's it. Michael Taylor, Jared Nelson, and Malik Fisher. And that's a talented defensive line right there. And then you come with Garrett Zobel, who's been fantastic, backing them up. And then Jalen Howard comes in. This is another super talent on the defensive line that nobody has, you know, witnessed yet. I mean, he sat back. The red shirt was clear. And then you have other guys. Peter Fallon's coming back, by the way. You give him a senior to keep this talented core. C.J. Presley's the other guy. C.J. Presley out of Philly, a guy they got late last year. That's a big talent. I mean, I really want to see these guys get down on this defensive line. I'm anxious to see what these guys can do. Michael Taylor is who I'm looking at the most right now. Michael Taylor, it's time for another star on this line to be born. I think Taylor's their guy. I just think it's Michael Taylor, man. Michael Taylor has all the tools to be a star at Villanova. And if you're looking at this line this year, you know, Siegel and them, Aaron Siegel, they don't, and Fallon, they can only do what they do. You know, Detrell Reed and when they was playing and, you know, guys like that, they're not as talented as these guys. I mean, seriously. And if Owen Thomas, what is he going to do? If he's going to be a defensive end, or if that's a different story. You put him at the end. Now, he's an athlete. He played a good. He was a high level playing tight end, and I liked him at tight end. I wanted him to get him at the tight end, but they made him a defensive end. I mean, a linebacker. And, you know, he made plays there. Defensive end. I just want to see how that works and what are they going to do. Is Owen Thomas, Alfine, is he going to remain at defensive end? If he does, that's a productive guy there. You know, that's a productive guy there. And I think Timothy Ferguson, well, that makes sense, will have something to do. I think he has a chance to get some playing time. Wide receiver. Now, listen, it's been guys like Brian Finneran. They've come out, but this is a different type of – these are dogs here. These are, the way Chenga Hyde and Jaren Hayek are playing, they'll be in a lot of NFL rooms, conversations to be drafted and, or undrafted free agents immediately when they come out. I want them to come to camp. Like, these guys are good. They can play. They got good hands. They run good routes. They make game-breaking plays. And that can only get you drafted, especially when you got hands and you ain't run good routes. Now, Des Boykin. Javon Jones, he ended up not getting the chances before because he was hurt. Javon Jones, another player with Des Boykin. You know, Andrew Perez, I won't say his name enough. I can't say it enough. I can't, man. Like, Andrew Perez is a guy that can play. Dan Serino's a solid receiver. I think Perez is more dynamic. I think Serino's like having, he's like having Kirkston. I think he can be a good guy with some good hands, but Perez can be he can really be a productive receiver. He has good hands. He can make some great plays. But Jaquan Allen and Dupree Bryant, my goodness. And Julian Lyasi is still a guy nobody's talking about. There's a track star, can be a top burner, take the top off of defense. He's that type of guy. And people are not seeing just how talented with Javon Jones. I just said Julian Lyasi. I just said Des Boykin. Josh McGrigg is coming back. Jaquan Allen, Dupree Bryant, and Ra'Juan Pringle. I mean, they have some real, listen, they love those little receivers, so Dupree Bryant is like the king of that. I think next year, people better watch out for their third slot. It's going to be all in the ball. It's nobody's. I think Chenga Hyde and Jaren Hayek are the two outside guys, but Dupree Bryant can come right in and take their spot. And I think Jaquan Allen can come right in and take their fourth spot. And then we talking, what's going on now? Not saying Des Boykin won't get no catches, but Dupree Bryant would be the guy highly favored to be playing that third receiver spot. Because Dupree Bryant's a whole different type of monster. And then when Smith leaves after that, it's Ortega against everybody. Who's going to win that one? I don't know, man. I think Ortega takes it. I mean, Connor Watkins is you got some two good quarterbacks backing up, man. But Ortega's another monster. I think once that season, I think Ortega starts with Dupree Bryant being there. And then, you know, Chenga Hyde leaves, you know, so he leaves after next year. So you still got Jaren Hayek, and I think Dupree Bryant become those type of guys. And you got Jaquan Allen. This could be Javon Jones. You know, he got Javon. We had some injuries. Javon Jones is it's very interesting to see what's going to happen because Dupree Bryant is coming. And Jaquan Allen is here. He was a late commitment. When you get those late near signing day commitments, those are important and strategic commitments because you're like, okay, if this guy don't go, this guy don't commit, this is a guy I've probably been recruiting behind the radar, nobody knows, and boom, here go an offer. Or nobody's paying attention. Or, you know, a couple people paid attention, but you ain't came back to it. Bow, there you go. The offer comes. And then by signing day, out of nowhere, Jaquan Allen, the athlete. He's an athlete. You know, he played two positions, but the receiving, he was just such a great receiver. And if you put him, I'm saying this, with Jaren Hayek and Jaquan Allen and Dupree Bryant, that's crazy. But you just can't forget about guys like Julian Lyasi who's going to catch and Des Boykin. And, you know, Javon Jones just could be John Jones has two more seasons. I don't know if they're going to give him a red shirt, medical red shirt. We'll see what happens, but Javon Jones could have two more seasons. We'll see what happens. But he's a talent, and him and Dez Boykin on there is just big. When you talk about, I'm talking about everybody else. Ray Duran Pringle is going to start getting some catches. He was getting some, you know, he's a guy that can catch. You can see it. He can make some plays. They got some guys, man. Zachary LaPolice coming. He's another guy. Look, he's a walk-on, and this guy can play. Seriously. Brandon Bell's an athlete, and we'll see what he really generally will be, another walk-on, you know. You got to look at the walk-ons, like I say, in FCS play, because these guys can come in and they can be on teams and they can make it and get time. Easy. It's not like, you know, being an FBS school or, you know, walk-ons just to be glad to be on the team, you know. This is one, listen, and they get some good ones. And Zachary LaPolice can be a guy that can really make some plays on their team. So it's big what they're trying to do. And what Villanova's trying to get. Nasir Robinson and Jayon Carter out of Penn Charter in New Jersey. Penn Grove in New Jersey. These two guys are three-star athletes, Jayon Carter and Nasir Robinson, three-star running back. So look out for that. And the reason why I talked to coaches and Tom Santiago is not, I asked could there be an offer for a running back. And I hear possibly, but you have an offer to Tom Santiago. Now, the thing is Tom Santiago going to be able to commit? And if you look at the crowded running back room, you might think, why, you know, but that's I think Tom Santiago, you get another running back now, you get somebody, and he's an explosive player. Just look out for his name. He could virtually be a Villanova Wildcat. Just hold your horses on that real quick. Tom Santiago could be Villanova Wildcat. They were focused more on those top three, but let's just see what happens. If Aiden Howard is a Villanova Wildcat in December, let's just see what happens between December and February. If they got a chance to get a guy that they offered this guy, Tom Santiago, if they got a chance to get him, I see them taking his commitment. And that would make this... Generally, if you look at it, we have to match that up. It's going to be an article about that. We have to match that up. Which class is better? I mean, they got Slay, they got Barley and TDA Odorizayi. You know, they lost out on some good recruits in 2019, and they came back real big. Jack Stanton being a tight end. Hayek could have been an all CAA receiver or cornerback, period. Jaquan Allen, Rajuan Pringle, Isis Waxter. These were guys that, Elijah Glover, these were guys that impacted this year. They always have impact in freshmen. The way they recruit is crazy. These guys come right in off the back. Glover, I just knew he was going to be a dog. He's just a real hard-working, physical, you know, type of player. I think he'll be a super player for Villanova when he finally gets his chance to start, and I think it's only undeniable. If you look at these safeties, I think Glover and Prickett will be the starters right now. McDaniel's good, but he's not better than those two guys. Those two guys can play. They should start. I think Glover and Prickett should start. Darius Prickett, yeah. And Elijah Glover, no question. They just proved it too much. And then you look at Amos and Trent and Benford. That's just too good right there. And then you see Jalen Goodman come in who can he's a high-level player. Jalen Goodman is going to be a player to make plays next year, whether it's a safety or cornerback, anywhere on the field. I can't wait to see him come in. I can't. That's the guy I have not talked about. I can't wait to see Jalen Goodman come in and impact. I cannot wait to see this guy come in and impact. We got Matt O'Connor's another guy they have of Aloha Marion. He's a solid quarterback. It's good. They got good depth at quarterback now. I think it's not like before. I think all these guys can come in and win football games. You got weapons on the field all around them. I think this is a now Villanova's to their point where they're stable at an easy rotation of talent every year. I think Ortega, like I say, I think Ortega comes in and takes this position. It's going to be a big fight between three guys. I think Ortega takes it. Dupree's already going to be making plays. Mitchell Bothwell comes in this class. You get you a three-star tight end who can block and catch the ball. And the way they use the tight end at Villanova, man, it's just going to make them so good. Jack Stanton, he's another. I mean, listen. Now there's new guys. Next year, Ty Summers is still going to be on the team with Bothwell and Stanton. I just want to see how all these guys play. It's going to be something to see how Stanton and Bothwell play. You know, both of them can block, but you know, both of them catch. Bothwell's better. So I can't wait to see how that goes with Stanton and Bothwell. That recruiting there, that'll really show how good the recruiting is. But Bothwell's something. Watch out for Bothwell. I think he's definitely there. But Stanton, to see his converting from a high-level, elite defensive tackle, defensive end, to a tight end. I think he's more, right now, looking at him, I just think the way he played more like a two-star tight end. It's not nothing bad. He's a guy that can be productive, no question. I think he can be productive because he's an athletic guy, but I just want to see him do it. In the football game, I haven't seen him make plays. We haven't seen that. So I want to see Jack Stanton. I had to see how he does it. Bothwell, you've seen him do it for, you know, that's his main position. You know, he got stars there. You know, I say two. What I've seen from converting, I just ain't seen enough in tight end. What I've seen, it's like a two-star. He definitely has the potential to be a three-star because I've seen the guy catch it and haul out, and he's a matchup problem, and he's strong. So let's just see how it goes. But I think he has the talent to be a weapon. That's another weapon at 6'2". So we'll see how this team go. And then next year, the football is the running back room is ridiculous. I mean, Jesus, you got TD, you got Barley, and they all got war wounds. What I mean by that, they've all put in work. They've all been productive. You got TD, Barley, and Justin Covington and Jalen Jackson. And then you got everybody coming back from the line. Everybody. Gambroff, everybody's coming back. Their offense itself is going to be something. Then you got Dupree Bryant. Like I've said, just watch out. People, watch out for Dupree Bryant coming in and Jaquan Allen. Those are two talents, I think, if Villanova and the way Villanova does it, people can get their time. You see how Hayek did it. I think Dupree Bryant is going to be one of those guys who's going to outshine everybody. From Dez Boykin is a dynamic talent, but Dupree Bryant, watch out. Watch out. They have a three-star just beast in Dupree Bryant. And Jaquan Allen, they got another three-star. Those are two guys. You're looking at Javon Jones. I think Jaquan Allen takes his spot. You're looking at Dez Boykin. I think I just think it's going to happen. Not saying the Dez Boykin is going to get any worse. It's just that this guy is a something crazy. And to have him and Dez Boykin on the same team? Just think about that right there. Forget about what I'm, you know, because that's that. Like I say, Dupree Bryant, Jaquan Allen, I just feel like they would take time. But easily, Javon Jones and Dez Boykin can take that time. Those guys are good. They know the system. They're explosive. Javon Jones has untapped, but it's only a matter of time before he comes out his shell and really be that productive guy. But, you know, he can only get where he's at, you know, fourth receiver. And he comes in and he always produces. But Jaquan Allen and Dupree Bryant are just two different type of guys. But Dupree Bryant and Dez Boykin, that gives Villanova, along with Josh McGrigg, got three guys that some school, it's hard to get one. It's hard to get one guy that can take the top off. All three of these guys can burn you. And Jared Hayek has underrated speed. Like, he don't get that credit like he should to be a guy that can just burn you. Like when he got that one-handed catch. He had to really get out on dude. Dude had to reach for him. So when you look at guys like Josh McGrigg, who, you know, now that you got Dez Boykin and Dupree Bryant, you're not going to see him get in and get the catches like that. But, once again, he's a vet, so he'll get some chances. He'll get some chances. And the thing is, he's had big 100-yard games. So they have that all across the board now. And then you got Javon Jones, Jaquan Allen, Andrew Perez. I still always say Andrew Perez. That is a weapon. He is a weapon. No question. I just like this receiving core because now you got Daniel Smith coming back with four running backs. That is probably an offense that you would think would be one number one. James Madison's quarterback was not better than Daniel Smith. I mean, this team's going to be way better. And to see what they do is going to be something different. Who I think starts at linebacker, you know, Forrest Ryan, Amon Black, Townsell. And I think Josh Slay has the Elijah Solomon. Let's put him in there. We got to put, I think, Solomon and what he's, between him and Slay, we'll just see what happens. All we know is Solomon will be a good special teams player, but between him and Josh Slay, who will get to start is going to be something to look at. Going to be something to look at. It's going to be some guys. And if Owen Thomas is also given the opportunity because he can play linebacker, it's just going to be something to see. It's time for this new breed to come out. We know what Black can do. We know what Ryan Forrest Ryan can do. You know, the potential of Townsend's been there. Time to unleash him, you know. And now you're looking at other guys that could come in and play like Elijah Solomon. I just think this guy's ready. I mean, he's just too impressive with the special team. So, that's it there now. Cornerback, I said there. So, this is a team that just is ready to win. So, I'll give you more and more update after the Aiden Howard visit. I have information on you after more and more recruiting. I'm going more and more in 2021 and staying on 2020. So be sure I hit you up later on in the week. Villanova Radio, Nova Nation.